From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, December 14th, 2017. And on this day, a new report out on the issues facing Long Creek Youth Development Center, the state's only youth correctional facility, and reactions from LGBT and pro-choice groups to Senator Susan Collins' vote to confirm Judge Steve Groz to a federal appeals court. It's ahead in just a moment. A newly released review of the Long Creek Youth Development Center in South Portland has found some serious deficiencies, including conditions described as dangerous and harmful to staff and residents. The report also recommends that the state completely reassess its juvenile justice system, and state lawmakers who have reviewed the report say it's time for action. Mal Leary has this story.
The Center for Children's Law and Policy, a national organization focusing on youth justice policy, has found that Long Creek has been chronically understaffed and is not equipped to handle the complex and serious mental health needs of many of those placed there by the state court system. The review praises staff for their efforts to provide needed services, but concludes they are overwhelmed. And the study found that too many young offenders are sent to Long Creek because there are no alternatives.
The science is clear that for children to develop properly, they should not be in prison.
Allison Bayer with the ACLU of Maine says it's time to close Long Creek and rethink how the state treats juveniles in its justice system.
They need to be in community-based healthcare facilities. They need to be with their families. They need to have the services that will help them get on the, back on the right path.
GLAAD, a group that advocates for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender youth, says the report should serve as a wake-up call to the state that it needs to do a better job providing safety as well as support for LGBTQ youth. The report stated current policies in the area are insufficient. The review also uncovered evidence of inappropriate use of force on residents, overuse of room confinement, and the criminal charging of youth with mental health problems and disabilities. The Maine Department of Corrections did not provide a response to the study, but the co-chairs of the legislature's Criminal Justice Committee say the issues are longstanding and are known to the committee. Hollowell Democrat Charlotte Warren is the House co-chair of the panel.
Because we do not have the facilities in their communities to support them, we are incarcerating them at Long Creek. That is wrong. It doesn't work. It costs us more money.
Warren says the failure to provide adequate community-based mental health services has resulted in huge costs. The state pays about $250,000 a year per resident at Long Creek, or about $15 million a year. Warren says the problems at Long Creek have been ignored, and it's causing a crisis.
Absolutely. My intent was to take up these issues that we know of years ago.
But the committee has not acted on legislation that would address the problems cited in the study. State Senator Kim Rosen, a Republican from Bucksport, co-chairs the committee and says Long Creek should be fixed, but not closed.
We can't shut it down. It's too soon. I have certainly toured this facility many times. And it does a lot of good things also.
Rosen says she is supportive of the approach used in Missouri, which is mentioned in the study, that combines a mix of corrections facilities and intense mental health programs and community-based mental health services. The study indicates that as many as half of the residents at Long Creek would be better served in community-based mental health services.
Well, in everything I've read about that, it works. And I am all for Maine doing that. It does work. It's proven.
Both Warren and Rosen say they will try to find carryover bills to address the problems at Long Creek. But if that doesn't work, they say they will ask leaders to allow new legislation in to be considered during the next session that begins next month. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Earlier this week, Republican Senator Susan Collins voted with the Republican-controlled Senate to confirm Judge Stephen Grass to a federal appeals court. She did so in spite of objections from LGBT and pro-choice groups and a unanimous unqualified rating from the American Bar Association. Steve Missler has more.
Collins has won praise from LGBT rights and pro-choice groups for her past positions on issues, but now she's taking heat from the main Democratic Party and other organizations for voting with the GOP-controlled Senate to confirm Judge Graz. Graz has said that the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision was, quote, moral bankruptcy, and he was a board member of the Nebraska Family Alliance, an organization that opposed protections based on sexual orientation and also supported conversion therapy for LGBT minors. Graz's advocacy on those issues is a big reason why the Bar Association says it voted 14-0 to rate him as unqualified for the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, a unanimous rating that's only happened 3 times in nearly 30 years.
I was concerned about the ABA rating. That's something I always look at.
Collins says she had also considered the ABA's assessment when voicing concerns over the inexperience of Brett Talley, who President Trump nominated for a lifetime appointment to the Alabama District Court. Talley's nomination was eventually withdrawn, but Collins says she decided to support Graz after interviewing him. She says she emerged from the meeting believing that the ABA selection committee did not treat him fairly.
I did not find any evidence at all to indicate that he would be prejudiced in his rulings or that he would not follow precedent.
According to the ABA's report, it's not uncommon for judicial nominees to hold political or ideological positions. But the ABA believed Graz's positions on LGBT rights and abortion are so strong that he can't shelve his biases and view related cases with an open mind. The ABA rating was raised by Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse and other Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee. They grilled Graz during his confirmation hearing last month.
Mr. Graz, I assume you're keenly aware that you are the first Circuit Court nominee since 2006 to receive a unanimous, not qualified rating from the ABA, and that the last nominee who had such a rating was withdrawn.
That is my understanding, Senator.
But Republicans like Senator Jeff Flake characterize the ABA as a partisan organization that gives higher ratings to judicial appointments by Democratic presidents.
I think that the ABA's long history of political liberal activism makes it very hard to see how their process isn't biased.
Such criticism from Republicans is not new, just as Democrats have ignored the ABA when it gives a high grade to conservative judges. The organization has played an on-again, off-again role in the formal process of vetting federal judges. President George W. Bush's administration effectively exiled the ABA for 8 years over perceived bias. President Obama then reinstated the ABA in the judicial nomination process. And earlier this year, President Trump exiled the ABA all over again. But as Senator Whitehouse noted during Graz's hearing, the organization still rated all but 2 of Trump's 40-plus nominees as either qualified or well-qualified. Among them, Supreme Court Judge Neil Gorsuch, who received the ABA's highest rating, but who was opposed by many Democrats anyway.
So I think it would be hard for the committee to ascribe the outcome in this case to a general partisanship of the ABA process. It would not be consistent with the facts.
Nevertheless, Collins believes Graz will be even-handed when overseeing cases that test his personal views on LGBT rights and abortion. She also noted that Graz received recommendations from over 100 lawyers, including a former U.S. attorney under President Obama. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
More of today's Maine news is at our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, December 14th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.